uno de los miembros justamente. De Alinez in front of you, one of the members of parliament, if the seat is in front of you, can I just get a proof of the agenda, one of the members? It was on the best, in a second. One of the fans, I thank you, one of the members of parliament. I just want to welcome you to this meeting. Today, as you know, that we are meeting Sarah, whereby you know that we said they must go away and do their homework and then come back to us and give us back some reports. I must express that Sarah is, if it's not the worst performing entity in Assam culture, I think it's the worst. Even yesterday, Temba Kodi raised it in parliament, raised it in the house yesterday when reports were given that Sarah is the worst teacher. Is the worst, there was like shrinking in a chair. I didn't know it at that level, that it can be a scope. I can also see can be, I think it was Sarah and which one? I think there were two right from Assam, I don't know the name of my group, but
the National NAC,
it was Sarah and NAC. I think there was a third, but why I'm specific with Sarah, because he dwells so much on Sarah, you know. It was, he had his own time on Sarah. And once again, thank you, members. As you know, that I think the last day of October, some of us from the legacy, in the life of all your time, but people for students, were able to reflect on the life of the hero, Oliver Richter, and he's one of our strong icons. And VG, I believe that went well in the done by the London and the department that I believe the president was the people are not invited as the viewers. Thank you so much. But the truth, oh, we're not invited. Thank you. And before I will just watch some apologies, I've got apology of Honorable Mshwana, who is on an oversight visit with the portfolio on occasion. And then we have Honorable Dapane, who said was in the PC Oral Development, the Chief Food Scorer. And then the Minister, is out of the country. No, the same. Will be out of the country on official business to the DRC. And the Deputy Minister, he's in the Cabinet Committee meeting. Any comments on the apologies? Okay, no comments. I believe we accept the apologies as they are. Just introductions, I believe you all know members of the committee by now, but just for my purposes so that you can know who is who once again. My name is Angela Sandoza, I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. On my right we have Honorable Van der Berg, then Honorable Van Stalbeek, we have Honorable Zweli, Honorable Mamita Shulubana. At the back then we've got Honorable Magunda, Honorable Warai at the corner, I don't know why he's sitting there. Is there any other member that have left us? Then you have Fiona Clinton, our special on my left here. And then you have Jack, our committee secretary. You have Joni, our committee assistant at the back. You've got Tiffany, I saw here someone. You have Tiffany there at the back from the PMG. And then you have Yoga, which one is? Okay, from the AG, thanks for coming. I think, that's for our media person was also here. And I think from my side, I've got everybody that I needed to be here. My name is Tandile Babazo Sundoza. Thank you, Che Koche. And we have Sam and Tawe Lazi. They are part of us, Novagiri Beauty Department. Now we are on the real issue of today. טוב, תפיקה לי זה, ושבל נוגע בוא נדע תיג'יניה. Sara is here at the beginning. You are going to give us a presentation. You are going to tell us how far have you gone with what we have requested as a portfolio committee last time you were here. As we have said on my opening remarks, I raised how crucial the issues of Sara are. And we as a portfolio committee are just to follow. There's no character nation, there's no permanent issues. I don't know all of you, you're not my friends, you're not my age, so people must not say that we're going to ask for a difference when we're doing our job. We did it with council, we did it with many entities, so whoever reports to who sends our interviews, we did it in a way, just do our job, and there's nothing personal against anyone, because you see, most times when the portfolio committee are taking decisions, they'll say, I'm full. On the road to Mangaung, I'm very clear, so some will say that Mangaung issues, people will find ways to discredit what good things are done. We cannot live on corruption, we cannot live in a state whereby tax money is memorized. That's what I can say. We've looked into your matter, Dr. Shigen, you were here, and we then said you must enter certain issues. And I believe you are working hand in hand with the department, because I think the recommendations that we made as well to the department. The state of SARS, if I was to decide, I would just close up. You know, I say no, measure it with one of the issues. One of the issues that was raised strongly raised by the control committee is monitoring teaching. It's even in the recommendations of the report. I believe they've given you the recommendations that we've made of the PRR, to say the issue with the energy of the entities. Buyers and sales, you know. I know there are issues that have been raised, and I know members are just looking forward to hear what is that your report. Preach over to you.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members. Mine will be just to introduce my colleagues who are here with me, and then I will hand over to Dr. Figueiredo to introduce the colleagues from SARA as well as do the presentation. I'm joined here by on my extreme left, Mr. Banahe Makunyane, who is the head of the Deputy Minister's Office. On his right is Mr. Fusindima, who is the head of Heritage. I will skip the gentleman and the lady, and then immediately next to me is Dr. Sakiwo Tiso. Chair, let's talk about what we are doing together with her after the presentation. After Dr. Figueni has taken us through the presentation. Dr. Figueni is the chairperson of SARA, and he will introduce the colleagues from SARA. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Omadola Fikin, the Chairperson of SARA. With me, I'm with the Chairperson of the Audit Committee, Advocate Dave Mitchell. I am also with Dumisani Subai, the Acting CEO at the moment, but also Head of the Core Business. I'm with the acting head of HR, Sia. I'm also with the interim CFO, Sandy Baker. And I do have our head of marketing, Perry Samuels. Someone next to us, we do have Umabato Ramahoshi. I will speak to that one later, because we are in a process of appointing her as the head of the turnaround strategy, but also acting CEO. Thank you, Chair. Well, let me start by actually thanking the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee for engaging us robustly. We expect no less when we are sitting on an organization which is doing so badly in terms of audit. And we said the same for the Scopa when we appeared before Scopa. I guess that's the reason why Tembagodi was also raising the matter again. And here there is a collective acceptance of the state of Sara as it is, and we are taking full responsibility and accountability for that. It is for that reason that even though we will highlight some aspects of what is appearing in the annual report, our key focus is on intervention methods. I start by highlighting to members the importance of SARA in terms of the mandate and the legislation that created SARA, the NARA Act of 1999. To say that you look at all the institutions of the heritage sector, probably the most important, and therefore having the regulatory powers, having the powers to declare sites, to grade sites, even issue permits, that in itself tells us how important SARA is and potentially should be. It is for that reason that this vast mandate, we've always said, the financial and the human resources that are needed to make sure that SARA performs optimally is very important, of course, that based on the system that should function well. Just briefly, what appears in this short presentation is one, the presentation of the annual report. Of course, we had quite a dig last time we were here on many aspects which appear in the annual report for the year, financial year 2011-2012. The second one and most important aspect of this report is to report back on the intervention and the turnaround that we had promised this authorial committee. And I can assure you that the council, working together with the department and the staff of SARA, have taken very bold decisions to make sure that this situation turns around. And I want you to take my word when I say by the time we meet next year, you won't have the many problems that SARA is confronted with. And that's a clear undertaking, and I want you to take me on my word for that. The primary focus here, of course, is to outline some of the SARA challenges, but I won't dwell on that. Intervention plan and turnaround, as I indicated. The issue of the CEO contract, which has bedeviled, the entity for some time, almost to a point of paralysis. And the core business projects, which, in spite of all these things, have been going on, on an unprecedented scale. I won't go into the financial and the human resource shortages because we spoke to that last time. I simply highlighted. We passed a number of policies since end of 2010 when we came in as a council, but the non-adherence to those and sometimes the integrity of information given in order to report on some of the things of compliance, it has come to light now that much of what was given was simply not accurate. The non-remuneration of council members, some of those coming from the PRAS, which remunerate them, when they come to sit in their mother body, SARA, they find that there is no remuneration and there has never been. But that matter, I'm happy to report through the DG and the ministry that yesterday Treasury finally gave an approval to normalize and make SARA look and work like other entities. The poor institutional work culture or work ethos, as well as the poorly managed devolution of functions to the provinces, because for the last 2 years that was a major, major challenge which led to paralysis of programs and sometimes offices being closed down without a plan. And some staff members sitting at home for 12 months being paid but not working. With the audit findings, we've come up with a range of interventions. But first and foremost, we found that there was no budget framework or policy. So we're in a process of finalizing that in order to improve controls. And we have reworked our budget to speak to the priorities. And we started that on a zero-based budgeting process, because the notion of simply taking last year's budget and adding 6% or adjusting it seemingly was not working, because it concealed more than it was revealing. And we are paying special focus on the capital projects of the DEC allocated funds as well as the donor funds, and we have been in communication with the Dutch sponsors and other sponsors to be sure that their monies are protected to do what they're supposed to do. Again, in the area of finance and supply chain, the process of strengthening that and appointing relevant skills to that is underway. In fact, one supply chain officer has been appointed and has started working. And we indicated that forensic inquiry will be conducted on areas which were highlighted by the AG, some of which were spotted by the council. And again, we would like to ask for your understanding and support here, because any well-conducted forensic investigation will reveal the scale of financial misconduct where it has occurred. And it will be able to assist us moving forward for a proper diagnostic of the system. And any staff members, whether it's council member or staff member, as we said, who might be involved in that, action will be taken without any fear nor favor, without any hesitation. We are in a process of strengthening the internal audit. We reported last time that the firm which was appointed to do the internal audit was not appointed appropriately, and the AG has pointed that one out, and we met to resolve that particular matter. So we will be now appointing a reputable and a very strong firm, audit firm, to do that work with all the requisite capacity that is needed. Let me come to the intervention and the turnaround very quickly. A turnaround task team composing senior managers of the department, council of SARA, some of its members, as well as the person who will be acting as the CEO within SARA, has now been constituted, it has been approved, and it is seconding people in the areas of the weaknesses within SARA. HR, for example, the finance, the governance area, the legislative, function that should be coming in. And we do have Dr. Kiso leading that team from the DEC side, who is also the head of monitoring within the department. Last time we indicated the vacancies on a large scale, some of the managers having left this year due to retirement, due to resignation, some their contracts having ended. And in spite of us having urged that this be filled immediately, that was not done. But at least now we have that situation under control, as the report will show that many people are now populating those positions. The appointment of an acting CEO who will also have the turnaround strategy is part of the turnaround, hence our discussions with Mayor Mabato Ramaphosa. And also the development of a comprehensive audit plan is part of us turning around. We've set up a monthly meeting with the AG to deal with the issues which are raised in the Auditor General's report. And as such, in all our council meetings and management meetings, we said the issues raised by the AG should be standing matters that we should be addressing. One of those issues being the one of the register of assets. We're in a process of getting a specialized firm to deal with that so that by the time the AG comes back, we no longer have a problem of not having a proper register of assets. The DAC has commissioned a study or research into the costing of SARA Act or the NARA Act in order to make sure that we're given appropriate resources, speaking to the mandate that we have. That process is underway. It's no longer in the planning phase. There is also the payment of council members, as I indicated, is now going to be sorted out because we have an approval of Treasury. This was a request made in September 2010, and we're happy to say in October 2012 they have acceded to that because it was an untenable situation. Council members were not as well motivated. Again, there we thank the Minister and the DG because they were driving the process, they were meeting with Treasury, pressurizing to make sure that we do get such an approval. Now we do have at least some incentives. We'll ask the Minister to say, with the vacancies present within the Council, would like them to prioritize the people with financial and audit skills to be in our Council. Of course, I've spoken to the forensic investigation, and let me go straight into the CEO's contract and the council decision that has been taken. Having applied our mind and going through all the documentation in the dossier that was provided, having received and considered the legal expert opinion, Council met and came to a decision that indeed Ms. Van Damme had a 3-year contract but not a 5-year contract. So there was no valid 5-year contract anyway. Consequently, the contractual relationship with Ms. Van Damme has ceased, and this has been communicated to her. But we moved with speed to make sure that there's no vacuum in appointing an interim an acting CEO until for a period of 6 months. We also had the turnaround. With the HR issues, I won't go through each and every position. Suffice to say, as you can see, most of the positions which were vacant are already filled or are in the process of being filled, and some of the appointed persons will be reporting to work tomorrow. And some of these are in the supply chain area, which has always been a sore point, an issue that has been raised by the AG again and again. The issue of the CFO, which I think again is a very important one, the IT technician and the IT manager. As I said, in spite of all of these challenges that we face, in the area of the core business, some of the areas we have achieved and exceeded any expectation, and as such, on an unprecedented scale, many grave sites were graded and declared. Let's just consider a few. We launched the Center for Training, Research and Education in Grahamstown in partnership with Rhodes University, and the first cohort of 39 trainees graduated from this program only 2 weeks ago. And the plans to upscale this program are underway. Most of these trainees came from different provinces, and they are quite excited. Their reviews are quite encouraging. We also declared the Fort Drake Monument, which was in essence the first African heritage icon to be declared as such, and were in discussions with that community to make sure that we declare more, and we are also assisting with the grading of some of the graves from the South African War and from the concentration camps. And SARA has assessed several provincial grounds, granting the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, almost a full license to do their own grading and declarations by a few areas where they may not have competencies. Northern Cape and Free State was also given that partial license. This then releases SARA to focus more on your national competencies, where there is capacity in the provinces. And we are doing everything to assist to capacitate provinces to make sure that they are able to deal with their own heritage management issues. You'll also recall what was covered widely in the media, the Arab priest painting by Stern, which was worth more than 30 million. We managed to save that from being sold to Qatar. And as such, we issued a temporary license to the Museum of Qatar, and we managed to save this painting. The South African Heritage Resources Information System has been established, and it will be populated soon, and it is where you'll have a repository of the heritage items or the heritage objects in their full listing. We also had an unprecedented number of graves which were declared, and some of them are in the final stages of being graded. These would include John Langalbale Letuve, Rev Mahabane, Josiah Kumete, A.P. Kuma, Kosi Albert Tutuli, Pixley Aseme, Makato, Steve Biko, Robert Sobukwe, and Rahima Musa. And the underwater and maritime heritage activities in partnership with Netherlands are almost at the stage of completion now, and that has been one of the most successful programs, educational in a way, but it's quite expensive. Let me then conclude by saying, as I begin, SARA is painfully aware of the state of its own controls, of its own governance, and the challenges as reflected in the AG, and also in our own reflection, because it's not just the AG, some of the things we highlighted to the AG to say these are the problems. And as such, we've taken bold interventions, and the department is working very closely with us, and we've invited some of the entities which have consistently performed well to make sure that they are there as we try to turn this ship around. Historical and structural challenges and the resource weaknesses of SARA, which are a legacy of many years, are finally being attended to, if we are talking about the costing of the Act, because finally SARA will be given the resources it ought to have in order to deal with the many issues which are reflected in its mandate. I do think that given the turnaround program that we're presenting before you, SARA has one best possible chance to turn things around so that it's no longer the same again. And I do think that we have a competent team that will make that possible. We are happy to be engaged, as we often come to our account, because we are handling public funds and public resources, and we want to make sure that the systems we have in place, we are able to account for every cent, and also have zero tolerance for any corrupt activities or financial misconduct. And that is our undertaking. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Jin. Did you have anything to add on the side for now?
No, maybe Chair, let me just quickly run through the community on the kind of intervention that we've put together. In discussion with particularly the chairs and Sarah, there appears to be several areas of challenges that I have. One is the human resource challenge, getting people appointed, sorting out the contract, and those kind of issues. What we have done, Chair, is we have availed our HR manager to work with the staff, Sarah, to resolve all of those things systematically. Together with that, we have availed one of our legal advisors also to help with that. The second area of challenge appears to be in the area of financial management, budgeting, and similar. We have also availed our head of financial management to work with Sarah to address issues raised by the AG to deal with financial management, obviously working with the staff that is at Sarah. And then the third area is the area of governance, and we have also availed Dr. Diesel to work with them in order to address those areas of governance that are problematic. Now, the turnaround team that we have put acts on an advisor capacity to the Council of Sarah, led by Dr. Diso. However, there is also a turnaround specialist who has been commissioned by Sarah to help turn the institution around. So, Chair, I think we have been able to put together a formidable, strategy and capacity to turn Sarah around and to address all of the weaknesses that are there. And we will be pushing the committee as things progress in this chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Thank you, Dr. Figen. Thank you, Richard. We would like to welcome Ms. Moss to the meeting, the Portfolio Committee meeting. I see the hand up on Senator. Members, we can present the report, all the reports are in front of you. And can we, honourable Senator?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I just want to echo your words, Chairperson. Yesterday in Parliament, when the Honourable Tema Gordy spoke about what's happening, what SCOPA findings are, I was also feeling a bit bad to hear that the Department of Arts and Culture was mentioned in the SCOPA report. I want to be honest with you. As a member of Parliament, I felt guilty when I heard that this department is not functioning well. I'm honest with you, DG. It felt if I did something wrong, if I didn't do my oversight job good enough. Of course, this is part of my job, and I'm also accountable for this, although not directly, but you will understand that people in the streets in my constituency will say to me, what are you doing there in arts and culture? You're doing nothing. You're wasting our money. That is the allegation I have to stand to, Dr. Fikeni. I have to stand to that. And I can tell you, as a member, it's not lacquer to hear that. I can tell you, I haven't got the words. I'm glad you accepted the accountability. And you were not present, but we've dealt on this in this committee for a long time, that it doesn't help, and Sam will remember what we've said. It doesn't help if we talk about these things all over and over again. If we have to sit here next year and talk about the same things all over again, then we've achieved nothing. Not at all. I just want to say, Dr. Fikeni, we fight the last time. We're not fighting to them. Don't interpret my words. This is just I want to speak out of my heart today and to let you know how I really feel and how important this is to this committee. We are different political parties here, but we are working the same direction. We want arts and culture to be successful in South Africa. We want our heritage to be preserved. We've got so many differences in our country. The only, I can't stress it enough, the Department of Arts and Culture is one of the important departments in government. This department can bring us South Africans together in future. This department can help us build a future together. Not wipe out the past, but bring us together and preserve what was happening in this country, never to do the wrongs again. So important is this department. So, and let's turn around. On a lighter note, since I arrived in Parliament, DG, I hear the word turnaround. Turnaround, where I was at communications, I sort of feel like Spain in that committee meeting, because it was a turnaround in Casa. The SABC is spinning around since how many years? They are spinning around. And I've got a challenge for the son of Dr. Fikeni. You remember that song, I do the hokey pokey, turn around, you remember that, eh? I just remember the verse. And if you are not turning around this department, Zara, I'm going to challenge you next year. If you haven't succeeded, you and the whole of your department will stand in front of Parliament and you will do the hokey pokey. You know, I do the hokey pokey and you turn around, that's what it's all about. You remember that? Your department will do the hokey pokey and you will turn around for half an hour till you get it right. And sing the song. On tune. Right, that's the challenge. I just want a couple of figures. You know, you spoke a lot about the turnaround, and you know what worries me? How much will it cost to turn everything around, the forensics and everything, just to start at zero again? I think that must be a lot of money. If you have to take all the consultants you've mentioned, you know, to look at this and to discover this and to create this and that, it's all consultants. And this must be millions and millions. I want roughly a figure from you, Dr. Kenny. How much will it cost? Money we could have used for preservation of our heritage. Now we have to use this to reinvent the wheel again. And that is, it's devastating. It's a pity that we are in this situation, but I'm not going to fight with you about this. We've talked about that a lot, but just give me a figure. And you know, it's all duplication costs. We've built a wall, then we kicked it down and built it and kicked it down and built it and kicked it down again. Now we have to rebuild it. The cost to company, I want to know, to get rid of the previous CEO and that the 3-year contract was ending at that stage, does it cost the company extra money to really get rid of the person, or was it just a letter that's been signed off? I just want to have the answer on that. I just want to go quickly in three other parts. Develop a comprehensive audit plan on intervention and turnaround. The current audit plan, I presume there must be an audit plan that has been used up till now to keep the, or maybe that was the difficulty in why the company went turnaround. Okay, that is the audit plan, no audit plan. And the next, I would just want to have an idea of what will all the consultants, audit firm, involvement of specialist service provider for a quicker turnaround. That's all a lot of consultants. And then there's the question about the HR issues. I think there's a lot of pending. Can you give us an idea when the pending will be done? I think that's also important. And then one last thing. You've spoken a lot about all the managers and the chief in charge of SARA. I just want to hear from you, where's the doers? There must be. We're talking about the Indians, you know, or the soldiers. How do you, too many chiefs and too less Indians, how is that saying goes? Not to say and to insult anyone at all, but just the same. And one last thing, you mentioned this problem with the provinces. What is the magic link between the National SARA Department, and it seems to me that there is not good communication between SARA on national level and the provinces. What's wrong there? Don't they listen to you? Don't you give a good direction to the provinces? What is the problem? Because I think this is one of the most important issues that have to be solved to get SARA taking decisions and enroll the plan on the ground. I think this is very, very, very important. And you must tell us so that we as a committee can also work on that. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you,
thank you, Chair. Through you, thank you, Dr. Kinney, for the presentation, and thank you for your honesty for acknowledging that there are many challenges. I'm not going to repeat what everybody else said. We know what the current situation is. Firstly, sir, you talk about one of the challenges are the non-adherence to policies, especially in the area of financial control and procurements, etc. Now, the non-adherence, by whom? And also, what are the consequences for non-compliance? Do you have a PMS system or performance agreements, or are you evaluating officials? That is my first question. And second one, sir, you mentioned the first ever Africana heritage icon, the Voortrekker Monument, which has been declared a national heritage. And I want to congratulate and thank whoever is responsible for that suggestion. Or gesture, I think that's the correct word. And then you talk about much more declarations in the pipeline. Could you give us an idea of what do you mean by much more? Which sites do you consider? And then the last question, Chair, for now. There is SARA, and there is the National Heritage Council, and it seems to me more than two agencies or entities for heritage. Is there any chance of rationalizing those? What is the difference, for instance, between SARA, the role SARA has to play, and the role the National Heritage Council has to play? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mamla Vida.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I would like to thank Dr. Fitieni for this turnaround strategy that he has outlined this morning. I just want to add to what the Honorable Thunder Raff has said about the HR issues. The interviews here, you indicate interviews have been done, but audit committee, it seems no interview has been done as yet, is pending. The others you can see, for instance, for heritage officer, we have done it on the 11th of October, and well, the reference and whatever is pending. Perhaps if you could, the audit committee and the company secretary, which is legal, I think that also should receive some attention. And another one, when you speak about the provincial price, you have granted some provinces, or you have assessed some provinces in order to conduct some functions on heritage resources. What criteria have you used to select these provinces? I see some of the provinces like Limpopo, for instance, and Mpumalanga and others had not been assessed. And to me, like Limpopo, I come from there, they do have some problems. If you go to them, ask anything about some heritage things, they will tell you, no, it's not ours, we'll go to national. And then number three, you say an unprecedented number of graves have been graded and some declared. These are the other day when I was in the portfolio committee with the Arts and Culture Department, that on our visit to some of these heritage sites, like the J2 Kumede's grave, were so disappointed. I'm not sure the relationship between your Sarah and those at the provincial level, because they could not even, you know, straight away take us to the grave, which was just cleaned just few days before we got there. Maybe there can be this communication to be able to, when you write here, to be able to know that the province at least has done something. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, I think I'll have my best. First, let's go and say that.
Before you, Chair, are you not sweeping?
You're saying that there's a struggle to me. I don't know why you're saying that. Okay, no, is there any other member? Okay, no, I'm going down, say. Oh, no, I'm hey, we got Chair, we have all the last one. Okay.
No, we haven't. Where are you today?
Thank you, Chair.
Oh,
it's Mabinda.
Okay, you can continue.
Oh, thank you. Ladies first.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. May I know what did you do with those people who were away from work for more than so many days but getting payment? What did you do? How did you cope up with the work that was supposed to be done by those, shall I say, loafers or what? Thank you.
Let me appreciate the way the chairperson is, frankly and very open to the committee. However, we like you to share more with us so that we also grasp the exact and what is happening there, so that we should not keep on asking questions as if we are interrogating to get something for the benefit of individuals. But this, I believe, should be looked into as for the good, for the benefit of the entire community. Some other question you might find it's not that relevant, but because of not having sufficient information that you do have, and your board members. It sounds as if we don't know what's happening. The first one is that, you have been talking about, which the Treasury has now approved, a request that you have made for the money to let Sarah, function accordingly, because you have indicated that lack of human and financial resources is one of the challenges that you're facing in Sarah. So, notwithstanding the fact that there is no government department or institution who will always say, now we have got enough funds, we can do and perform our own things, but the funds that we have in our budget, from the budget, it's enough. But what I would like you to share with us is that those critical vacancies and critical positions, will you be in the position definitely to catch up, much as
Now we are talking about Treasury has now approved the requirements that we submitted in consultation with the department. We know it will never be sufficient or completely enough. You still have need more in order to drive and to perform your functions as supposed to be. But share with us the setback that we still expect, just because you got so much. But instead, if you could have got so much, you should be doing more than what you want could expect. The other issue, the innovation that we are talking about, and also in the turnaround strategy, developing of the comprehensive audit plan, working closely with the AG. You cited one example, the asset register. If you can also share with us, because I of the opinion that you see the assets from your side, you might be knowing them. We do have this kind of assets and liabilities and so on, but only to find there are no way to register. And then when you start registering them, you find that other, or maybe the department says, no, this does not belong to you, because 1, 2, 3, this does not belong to you. If you can share with us, so the next time, you know, if you say, now we have registered all our assets that belongs to us, if one can say, no, which are those, you'll be in the position to identify them, say, this and this and this and this and so on and so on. So, as I've indicated, you know, it's, others are just questions for the good sake of understanding. It's not something that interrogates you at the time of so share again with us Chair, so that we understand very clearly the CEO contract and capital decision. You see the way you put it, you put it in a way that it only tells us that the squabble that you have with the CEO to say, I'm having 5-year contract with you, and then others saying 3-year contract. The investigation, according to your explanation, shows that it's only 3-year contract. So what next? In the first place, one could ask a question like, it still means that you do not have a CEO, because the letter now has been sent to her, am I not... misinterpreting. Is it her or him? Yeah. So you find out, of course, from the human background, we'll all understand that she will not just simply take it. Probably she might take you to court or to labor court and whatsoever. What are you expecting, and what are prevention measures towards that line? Because obviously it will still be another public funds that will be used to defend the institution. So how do you deal with this matter? But if you share with us in that regard, probably we might have a sense of what is going to happen. And you have been talking about the licenses. Do you give licenses? Because in the core business program, current programs and past achievements, I'm just not quite sure of what is it, and that's why I'm asking it. You say SARA assess provincial PHRA granting the Western Cape and so on and so on and so on. So they were given the right to conduct some functions heritage resources, and then in your explanation you indicated this is kind of a partial license. Is it SARA that is giving those provincial one a partial license, or who is giving those license, just for us to understand. So the Auditor General's report, when I look into, it's quite a lot of things that we can talk about. I mean, the way you have been so open to show the challenges, definitely what you have to take it from there, and the commitment that you made that by this time of the oncoming financial year, most of the things that you have squashed away. So let's hope and believe that we are not coming to ask you that question, how far are you? Let's see the needs depend on the world and not coming to ask you questions. But however, we have got so many things in the AGS report, like for instance, non-compliant. Sometimes when we look into it, it's not that people do not understand what the personal, do not understand what they should do. But if you check it, you find out that we sometimes use the so-called, what do we call it, human element. People are ignoring what they know they're supposed to do it in this meeting. What is it that you're going to do? Because you always write a report and say, no man, you're not complying with this and this and this. The policy stating that you must wear like this, what next are we going to do? Because even if you say we are working together, very closely together with the AG and the department, but from the personal point of view, human element will always be there. Others are there not really likely to see things happening. They are dragging their feet, as my colleague has indicated, that whether they are locals or whatever. Others, they are doing it deliberately. So how will you be able to try to drive these things so that it become, the situation becomes so normal that people find themselves performing according to their requirements? For instance, the procurement and contract management. Even if I've ever never been in that kind of field, anything that is above 500,000 supposed to be dealt on a certain way. People will have to get this, what do you call, quotations and whatever. But now, yeah, sort of. But you find out people are just, doing it the way they do wish. The person might be, I know it's so difficult to ask and tell us about somebody's thinking, even if you hire a person, you don't know his internal or person. But we expect him or her to perform accordingly. The policy is there, we must adhere to that policy, all of us. But what it is that you are likely to close those gaps so that you perform according. And then the other thing that we have taken, I'm repeating myself, we don't want to ask you in the oncoming financial year, but we expect that the truth will just come here and then we can read it from the world at this day. Thank you, Chair.
You can hide, but you can't run away.
You can't run away, thank you, Dr. Shikin, for the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you very much, Chairman of Council, for the report or for the presentation. Chairperson, I want to ask the question on the last time we were talking about the issue of the investigation, and we were proposing in the portfolio committee for a forensic investigation. And if that investigation did take place or not, and if so, what is the outcome? Because no one can be running away if you must use the taxpayers' money, Chairperson, on that particular point. Secondly, Chair, in this booklet, number 111, on the issue of the human resource management, this booklet talking about that the portfolio committee was saying something towards it on the replacement of those workers. Now, if the department of, if the entity say they have a challenge on the issue of vacancies, did you not consider those people that you replaced? Did they not have the capacity of the skill and the knowledge that maybe you can relook in it? There's nothing wrong if you send the post of people, but those people have skills. If you advertise the post, they may be good for those people who that you maybe have retained. It's only you people know if they maybe be those people have a package or whatever. Because, but if you have the skills, we said South Africa, we have sort of skills, then we must relook on those people, must be retained on that way. Because they've come both sides. On the issue of the AG report of that 10, what is it, those of the 1 million rent and 147. So, I mean, a lot of money was maybe, and a lot of us maybe invest in those particular workers. And as African people, you can't just throw people away or skills away. So I think maybe the council and us should be looking in those particular issues. On the issue of the supply chains and the names, I see this, the proposal is saying that for the information resources system must be still by the department. I just want to ask this question. Has the department capacity to assist this entity on that? Because you are also, your own chair is also on the same issue of supply chain and finance, on the issue of performance. So my question will be, has the department the capacity to assist this entity? Or will you make use of consultants? Or maybe from other resources, or maybe in other government departments, maybe to assisting you. You see, I see you was showing you his body language, but I asking the question. Chairperson, quite frankly, I want to ask the point. You know, you can have very good turnaround strategies, but is there a willingness? Is there a willingness, really? Because we can speak every time in this different venues department about to assist as MPs, as public members of this institute. But if you see on this one place, one level, you see there's no willingness. You still go ahead with the issue of the treatment. Although the committee was saying, can you consider on that? But it still was, you still continue with this. So my question would be, will there be willingness on the turnaround strategy? And what is the time frame? You know, we finished with the finance next year, I think, out of March, and we are not far with it. So it would be good, you know, we don't have proper time. It would be good, in your program for next year, that we put a day or two aside with the department and the entities on a workshop on the issue of the turnaround. So that we're not coming every time here and talking about those issues, supply chain, human resource, all those things. And also the loopholes of policies who must become in place so that we prevent those things happening in this entity. On the issue of assets, this is a great concern. I'm speaking now general, I think this entity included. The issue of asset management must be addressed. Because you can couple finance with assets. And at the end of the day, you become 2 million, millions rent who's going down to the drain. So therefore, I really want to stress out that particular point. Thank you very much.
And I think one of the members, is there any member that has left out? Thank you, members. I think one of the issues that I want to raise from my side is that, one, I like the word turnaround strategy. Because when people mess up, they come around and I always have a problem with that. And then the next thing is the use of consultants in that turnaround strategy and why we are trying to find consultants. I have a very serious problem with that. And I always say the skill in that entity or in that department, why should we seek outside? Maybe I don't know. When I was a public servant, I solved my own issues when I was inside, not needing someone to turn it around. I think one of the issues that must be taken seriously is the issue of one, the non-denomination of councillors, of council members, has been raised by other entities as well. I think maybe we should have a standard. I would say uniformity in there because it brings forward some who will not come because they would say we are not coming because we are not remunerated, we use our own mine, we use our own transport, you know, and all those things. This is one of the issues, nobody had advanced access out of the issue of the dissolution of provinces of SARA. It's only a stress issue because those union people are still contacting me, they're still not happy about it. I think one of the errors that I made is not to call them here because I could call them here. as I did with other entities when they're problems, because they I know I'm not a labor person, but sometimes we need them in when situations are bad. They helped us a lot with mental. When one was saying this, the other one was saying this, and the truth really came out from them. One of the findings, I thought maybe you should, maybe you should answer this one. How do you interview one person? Is that allowed by law? And who was there from the DEC? Because I believe when you interview a person at that level, there should be someone from the DEC. Because he must tell this body or she must tell this body, look, how come did they interview one person? Out of all those people that were said, for people, I still can't understand that. Maybe it's me. It's one question that I've been always asking myself when I was doing the issue of services. One person, and I understand there are very prominent people who applied. I'm not saying that a candidate that was shown there's something or no other thing, but that's the issue. You see, when this report was given 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, in any employment sector, if there is no contract, you are not employed. Unless I'm wrong. If there's no contract, open the Japan. My understanding, if there is no contract, there is no employment. And there should be a letter if there's an extension at the council to say that we are extending maybe for a year or two or whatever that the council decides on. One, SARA cannot provide us with the portfolio to do that. Number two, last week or 3 weeks ago, you gave us an alarm, for a big institution like SARA to give us such a paper to say that this is an employment contract or this is, it's fine, but it's a disappointment. If there was no extension of contract, I think you as a board will hold you accountable as well, because this person also has no employment. How do you take a word of the mouth when there's nothing? Signed it. Where are the means? Because we can't even find the means. That means that is corruption, actually. It's a crime. You are paying someone who's not working. And that's about the party, right? Yeah. And we think, to the politicians, we are deployed and fired today. You don't question anything. You're told, inshallah. You know exactly. I can't take anyone to court for them because when they don't want to take that way. We all know that. When they want to shift to, they shift to, you know. But in the sector where public money is used, I think I have seen that as well. It's long. That's why one of my issues was to fight to say, how does this happen for such a long time? In Hansel's situation, there was a contract, I think it was ending in September. There was an agreement, he was paid out. They're still coming to report. I don't know, but I think there was kind of, because the contract was there, you know, that was there. I must thank the audit committee also, they are doing very well so far. And you see, Dr. Figgins, one of the issues that I don't understand, I don't know how the response, I think it was really one of most one of about is she going to contest, because you see, my basis, what are you contesting, what or not? And I don't have anything against this pandemic, but if you already all that was doing very well, you can't have this global complaint. Actually, the report is rotten, you know. And obviously, when it's like that, the staff morale is down, obviously, at the end of the day. People that are paid, that are at home, and all on all those issues. I just want to check with the DG, who in the department is going to, the girls in the HR, who is going to assist on this DEC around the area, okay. Because we would want that support, you know. And I think I'm happy with the point that there's a comprehensive audit plan working closely with Asia. One thing though I want to raise, when council sits next time, if a member of council is defeated by the vote, he or she must not lead the podcast and go behind council. I think that's one thing that I want to raise. That one, we are going to raise it here. Unfortunately, not all your members of the council are here. Whoever she knows herself. We don't play political games as politicians. What are you offering? If you are defeated in a council, then let's not play political games going behind good politicians, you know. Okay. I met with the forensic investigation that is going to be done. It has to be done at the end of the day, you know. I met with the step that the minister has taken to write to treasure for the last end or to expedite the issue of campus nomination. I think that's a step that I also agree. Well, last week when the department came over to report some of the issues. I wouldn't have not been just now. Evidently, I've read the non-DG IEB contract. As I said, whoever goes and reports in this pandemic, when they come, we as a portfolio group to report nothing as to anyone. Even if it's not here, there are still people who are in this year, who are also involved. Action must be taken. Even to the lowest minister, action must be taken at the end of the day. And you see, when classes are like that, I think Dr. Fiji, one of the mistakes must be, when there's a loophole like this, some even of people also start will take advantage. Because they need to know ins and outs of stuff, so you must be careful. Some will come in and say, who said we all got all the details, and someone this morning will give me statements that I don't get to take anything from the member of the council must report. If they report something wrong, then you can't. It can affect the problem. So I don't take those. That's one thing that I don't do. And it must be a process to open up for people who are sending their old scores inside. And people must not be guaranteed also who are acting on the same position to say that I will get the post. Because that's where the problem starts. The person will say, I was acting for a long time. You know what I'm talking about, other members. And people think it's an entitlement to it's just a letter, unless our course will not know what to do, but I went through your annual report. You see, when there's a lot of variances, then you must solve the problem. When you read the whole and the variances, then you must know there's a very, very serious problem. Because that means, I know 100% you might not link whatever to strategic plan. There are certain changes that have to even ask us to look at, sometimes to change your program. Because of the decision, but if they are variants like this, then I have a problem. I see the page on HR issues. The reason how many HR offers have been made, and I hope those posts are advertised. The right processes were followed. I don't want to hear any stories and no problems. And I hope they are skilled and qualified. For. I think now you're pushing us in a level by we as a protocol to which must move and search on what is happening. I will, for now, let me hold until we come to the program. There will be another set of questions that I'll ask. Welcome, everyone, to the meeting. Yes, sorry for, you know. I'm told it's fresh outside. Can we just take it for 10 minutes and come back one with the presentation?
Я вам практика.